We bring in Ricky Smith, head coach of the Lady Bears, and Ricky, has it sunk in? I mean, another state title. You're going to be hanging a new banner over here in the gymnasium.
Yes, it's starting to sink in a little bit. We're raising money for the rings and started off season this week, first week back. So we're proud of everything the kids accomplished, proud for the program, proud for the school. It's been a few years since we won one, so it was getting time. It was getting time.
Matt, it looks like he just came from practice.
Yeah. When are they putting that statue of you up there in front of the school,
yeah.
Coach?
We lost three times. we've won a few, but we have been beat three times in the finals, so don't forget that.
I must say this. I got to have lunch with Mr. and Mrs. Jones today, along with Matt.
There you go.
And some of the stories they were telling about – you and their two daughters and you coaching them, and I believe it was one of Matt's sisters,
Grace, probably,
that led you to say your first cuss word at a player.
Yes, it is. I knew it, and I told them as soon as it happened at halftime at Fayetteville High School. I could still remember it, but I told them, I said, I knew you two would be the two that caused me to do that. But they were you know, hot cold twin sisters that. One's nice, one's mean, vice versa. And they were very talented players, but they were very challenging.
Do you remember the Bentonville game? My dad was telling us the story about, I believe y'all had a conference win streak going on. I don't know if it was a home or just total conference, but he was telling me a game, and it might have even been an overtime, that Grace hit a three-pointer to win the game. Do you remember that? Yeah, can you take us back there?
Yes, it was at Bentonville. And we had two streaks there that went on for a while. We won 46 in a row, and then we lost a game, and then won 44 in a row. And it was right in the middle of one of those streaks, and it was it didn't look very good. We weren't playing very well. Bentonville's a hard place to play, and you know, Grace stepped up, hit a big shot, helped us win the basketball game. Stephanie had some key steals late in the game. But both players were very, very instrumental in keeping those streaks alive, and both were very talented. But they were a little hard heads. Now, I will admit that. And, you know, you talk about, I heard Matt say earlier as I was coming over from school, about coaches change, put your arm around them a little bit. Well, those were the kind that you put your arm around and kicked them in the ribs.
Oh, my goodness.
And the team you got coming back this year, how many players are you losing off this team, and what are you looking forward to for this offseason?
Well, we return a lot. We lost two seniors that started for us and a senior that come off the bench. But we have a very solid sophomore class that we're right there on the heels of our seniors. So we really return seven of our top 10 players. Just like always, you know, the expectations at Northside High School, we're very blessed to have quality athletes and the program going in the right direction. But every year, we expect to be there. You know, I don't know. You know, there's always four or five teams that over the course of the season have a legitimate shot to win a state championship. And then it comes down to who gets the breaks and who plays the best, shoots the ball the best. But we fully expect to be one of those four or five teams.
I'm saying repeat right now. I'm going to put the pressure on it right now. Let's go to Jeff in the Rock. Jeff, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Good afternoon, guys.
How are you?
Pretty good. We're getting way off the subject here. I was going to ask Matt and Trey, you could probably elaborate on it as well. NFL receivers. Matt, I'd like to know, I always like to hear, you know, your stories about the NFL. I mean, we can't seem to always get enough about, you know, the inside scoop and what have you. Also, some of the veterans, what's the boy's name that played this past year at the Patriots?
Chad Johnson.
Long, tall receiver.
I would say not Randy Moss, but Chad Johnson.
Randy
went
Moss.
There, then he went to
Randy
the
Moss.
Oh, okay,
no,
well, he played for the 49ers last year.
Okay. And also, maybe you could elaborate on T.O.'s, why he didn't last. I know that you had at one time said that it's, you know, he couldn't figure out the right
Chad
way
Johnson.
To run the route.
Yeah, not T.O.
You know, it come down to him just not having the brains for it. Could you elaborate some on your, you know, why you got out, or was it your speed, or was it, you know, what is it? And maybe you could just elaborate a little bit more on it. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I don't know totally, but from what I heard as far as Chad Johnson being a Patriot, which he was a Dolphin in camp last year, so this would be 2 years ago. But the way that that system is, you have to they'll be called two to three different plays in the huddle. And most of the time, even when you call one play, there's a brother or sister play, whatever you want to call, that goes on with it, that at any time you can audible. Every single play has a play like that. You have to pick that up, because if you're not on the same page with the quarterback, he thinks you're running a 12-yard curl, or you think you're running a go or a 10-yard out, whatever, and you don't run the right route, these D-backs are too good. That's an interception touchdown. So you're not going to get the play. And also, as a college quarterback, you have confidence in certain players. And you'll know this as a coach. How many players, you won't let them shoot a three-pointer. They can only shoot the ball in the paint, you know, or whatever, who you're going to let bring the ball up. If a receiver makes a play for me a couple times, he's catching the ball, I'm going to keep going to him. He's dropping the ball or whatever, he might not get another look the rest of the game.
He's Matt Jones. I'm Trey Schaap. The Freaky Joe Franklin is back in the studio. We've got Ricky Smith, head coach of the Lady Bears, with us. We'll have more from him when you come back. It's Overtime on the Buzz Radio Network. Matt Jones, Trey Schaap today from the Sports Hog 103.1 in Fort Smith, one of our fine affiliates here on the Buzz Radio Network. Freaky Joe Franklin back in the studios. We're also joined by the head coach of the Fort Smith Northside Lady Bears, Ricky Smith. Not a bad walk from campus over here, is it?
Absolutely, about a block away.
Ricky, a state championship. You've been there 9 times. You won the title. This now your 6th. You started in 1994 at Fort Smith Northside, and you talk about the tradition, the fact that they want to win state championships there. That's what they expect. Talk about the run this year.
You know, we played in an extremely tough conference with the new 7A, 6A Central combined conference. And I'm not sure any other conference in the country can lay claim to what we've accomplished out of our conference this year. We had 4 teams play for a state championship all out of the same conference.
You're like the Big East.
Yeah. We had 2 state titles come out of our same conference. You know, we Northside and Southside, 7A state champions, 7A state runner-up, and Little Rock Hall and Little Rock Parkview. So I don't think you're going to find very many girls basketball or men's basketball conferences across the country that have 4 teams playing for a state title in the same league.
I think maybe last year out of the 7A, 6A East, because you had Jonesboro, Parkview, mm-hmm. West Memphis, and Hall.
Absolutely.
So 2 years in a row it's happened.
Yes.
But, yeah, because of the crazy classifications that are going on in the state of Arkansas, you get that. Talk about the game. It was Southside controlled it. I mean, it's the Battle of Rogers Avenue. We're sitting right off of Rogers Avenue. But Southside controlled the game, but you found a way. Your girls found a way to get the game into overtime, stretch it out, and you end up winning in overtime. And 2 years before, you lost in overtime, in double overtime in the last second shot.
You know, this was our third time to play Southside this year. We played them, you know, this group of seniors that played them 9 times, and we're 9-0. The law of averages were catching up with us, you know. The kids, Southside come out in a very large zone, a lot like Syracuse is doing in the NCAA tournament. You either shoot it well and you're successful, or you have to find other ways to win. We're playing at Martin Coliseum, where the depth perception is very difficult to prepare for. The week prior to the state championship, we practiced at UA Fort Smith and stopped along the way at ULR and tried to get a little shooting in an arena-type setting. But you can't ever put the actual game atmosphere in there. And so from a coaching standpoint, I was very concerned about our shooting percentage going into the basketball game. We're a very aggressive defensive team that try to press and trap, but you can't get in your press and trap if you're not shooting basketball. So the week prior to, we put in a half-court trap off of missed baskets just in case our shooting percentage wasn't where it should be. Going in at halftime, we were shooting a grand whopping 26%. So, you know, you can see why you're trailing. Then as you go, you know, start playing a basketball game, your kids are starting to panic a little bit. Now, you know, you're not hitting the shots, and we're running motion offense versus the zone, trying to get anything we can to get some movement. But luckily for us, you know, the ball bounced our way a couple of times there late. We hit a basket or two, just enough to give us just enough confidence to put it into overtime. And from that point on, we won the semifinal game against North Little Rock in overtime also. So having a group of kids that have been to the state championship 3 years in a row, coming up a little bit short, you know, you're sitting there thinking, you know, surely to goodness, we got to find a way to win this. And luckily for us that our seniors stepped up, hit some big free throws down the stretch and found a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, experience helps. It definitely does. And ask you a question about the Final Four. I know you're a basketball fan. So what do you think as far as what's going to happen in the Final Four this year? And with Louisville being back in the Final Four, you know, experienced team, Wichita State making a good run, and then, you know, Syracuse, Michigan, everybody's thinking it's a coin flip type of game.
You know, you look at the Final Four and the atmosphere around it, Wichita State is somewhat of a shock to be there, you know, and I'm like everyone else. We all like the upset, except when it's Northside High School. But, you know, Wichita State could be. I'm not saying they're going to be. I think they could be overwhelmed by the atmosphere.
And as you're going on, you just talked about the change in arena. They're going to be playing in a big arena, like you just said, with your team. You went to some other places to get shots up.
And it's the Georgia Dome, but it's not the setup that, if you remember back to the 95 SEC championship game that Arkansas-Kentucky played in, they did let a lot of people in, but it was in that one end zone. It's been that way for the SEC tournaments. But it's in the middle of the field of the Georgia Dome this time. There's no big tarp that cuts it off.
Well, I agree 100% with you guys. But also, most of the Division I programs are going to be playing in an arena-type setting to begin with. You know, as a high school coach, we're playing in the smaller gyms. And so when we make the transition to an arena, it's a big jump. I'm talking more of the off-the-court festivities as far as, you know, the Final Four media and the autographs and the hotel and the send-offs. And, you know, it's from a high school standpoint, we had a pep rally to leave for the championship game. And, you know, as a coach, my main focus is, let's load the bus. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
We got to keep, you know, we're going on a business trip, not a you know, vacation. So that concerns me a little bit, you know, with Wichita State. Louisville is, you know, it's kind of the favorites of the country right now due to the kid's injury, and rightfully so. But you know, I think you know, you have to look at Syracuse too. You know, they play the zone so well, and they extend it probably 6 inches or a foot farther than what everybody else does because of their length. And you know, you're taking shots that you're normally a foot closer to, and you know, you get to that level and everything going on. It's a lot, you know, it's going to be a lot weighing on it. I don't get too caught up in the picks, but from a coaching standpoint, looking at the strengths and weaknesses of all the programs, I would kind of lean toward a Louisville-Syracuse matchup.
Me too.
And
there we go.
probably, you know, just based on the toughness of Louisville and the way their guards penetrate, I think they have some very good guards that can create problems off the bounce. And that's who I'd probably go with.
And that would be their third time, I think, to meet, where they split
this year.
The regular season. Yeah.
Right, and I think they split at each other's home as well.
Right.
Louisville won up in Syracuse. Syracuse won down at the Yum Center this year. Ricky, high school basketball, girls high school basketball in the state of Arkansas. I think we saw this year probably, well, obviously one of the best players ever to come through the state of Arkansas, and some could say maybe the best player ever to come through the state of Arkansas, and Tyler Scaife. I want to get your thoughts on her first, and then I've got some follow-up questions after that. So Tyler Scaife, how good is she? Is she the best ever? Is she one of the best ever?
You know, I've been very lucky to be a part of a program a long time and see a lot of great players. You know, we had Elena Beard, played at Duke, was the first pick in the WNBA draft, come to Northside High School and played in our Tournament of Champions. Left-handed kid out of Shreveport Southwood High School. We've seen Shamika Christian from Hot Springs, Shakina Strickland from Marlton, both in the WNBA. And I've went against Tyler now ever since she was a ninth grader. We played him in the state tournament. In my opinion, at this stage of the game, Tyler's farther advanced than all the kids that I've just mentioned. She can do so many things. She can score off the dribble. She passes the ball so well. But I think what separates her from the rest of the pack is just her speed and quickness. You know, we would really, every time we played them this year, just double her. I mean, when the ball came across half court, we would double her every time the ball was even close to the next closest defender. And she still would get 27, 28. And she creates so much problems, so many mismatches for your guards defensively. And then she's very, very unselfish. I mean, she passes the ball extremely well. You know, can jump and grab the rim, 5'7". When, and you know, another thing that you can tell that the kid's got a lot of respect, when the boys start sitting around watching it.
Right.
You know? She played summer basketball.
She could play with the
Absolutely.
Boys.
Absolutely. She played summer basketball on the boys' team in a league in Little Rock, and she's got a lot of respect across the state, across the country. I truly believe she's going to be one of the best, if not the best, to come out of Arkansas. You know, a lot has to be said. You know, you got to prove it. You know, you got to go to the collegiate level and prove how good you are. But at this stage of the game, boy, she's very talented.
You got to work at it. And before you ask yours, I did want to get your thoughts on the Mark Cuban with the Brittany Griner.
I had that question in the back of my head too.
I don't think a girl. She could go. I don't think she can play in the NBA. I mean, that's the best of the best of the world, and a 6'8" post player ain't going to get it done. But what are your thoughts? Could she make an NBA roster and play in the NBA?
Mark Cuban's got a lot of money, and I think
if anybody would do it, it would be him.
I think he's wanting to make some more. I you know, Brittany Griner is a tremendous player. I mean, I think she's totally the face of the women's basketball game. But there's a difference, you know. There's a difference. I don't think she can step onto the men's level and play and compete at that level. You know, I think Cuban is looking at selling some tickets, maybe.
Just the strength, probably.
Absolutely, the speed of the game. You know, she's a 6'8" post player at the women's game. LeBron James is a 6'8" point guard at the men's game. So there's a tremendous difference. I mean, it's flattering to have someone mention the fact that we could have a lady playing in the men's game. But I think there's still a significant difference.
When you look at the talent in the state of Arkansas, and you talked about Shamika Christian, Shakina Strickland, Tyler Scaife, Gary Blair was able to get Christian to Arkansas. Gary Blair leaves, and it seems like now the top talent in the state of Arkansas doesn't find its way to Fayetteville. And I don't want to put you in a bad situation, but can you explain to the listeners why some of these players, the best players, are leaving the state to go elsewhere?
You know, that's a very good question, and I'm sure there's a lot of people asking that question. You know, Coach Collin, you know, the new coach at the University of Arkansas, is a good friend, and we stay in constant contact, text a lot, and he's done his homework as far as a lot of my young kids are concerned. But there is a lot of players leaving the state of Arkansas. You know, there's a lot of players that are playing in the NCAA tournament from the state that if stayed home, it would make a significant difference. You know, Coach Collin has got Tari Cummings, who's a former player of mine, who's now a lead recruiter, and she works very, very hard. I know last year Texas A&M, Coach Blair came in and tried to hire her away from Arkansas. So it makes you feel good that Gary's coming in and trying to get some of our assistants to go there. Coach Blair and I have a great relationship, and I've known him for a number of years. And we've had a lot of great players come through Northside High School. And, you know, we had one leave, go to Louisiana Tech back in the day. But my most recent players have been going to Arkansas. From a high school coach's standpoint, being in the state, you know, and watching what Matt went through as a recruit and talking to him through his recruiting process and then watching him go to University of Arkansas, I would like to see our kids stay home. I mean, I really would. I think the University of Arkansas does a good job of helping prepare the kids for the future, you know, maybe whether it be a career at, you know, whatever company that's available after they graduate. But I think a lot of our kids, you know, I don't know, that maybe they want the limelight a little bit, you know, the instant, you know, microwave atmosphere and, you know, instant satisfaction. But I'm looking for that one player that wants to stay home to take the program to the NCAA tournament and change the direction. Tyler Scaife type player could do that. And it came down. Arkansas was in the running, from my understanding. But, you know, there's a lot of good players out there that are not on the hill, and it's frustrating. From a high school standpoint, it's very frustrating.
And what you were talking about is it we were talking about this. We had some callers call in and wonder about the SEC, where it ranked in boys basketball. And Trey and I didn't think it was a top five conference across the country. Now, in football, we think it's the best.
Absolutely.
Now, and what you're saying about that is that where does the SEC Women's Conference rank in the top 10? I mean, it's a top 10, but, you know, is it up there? Because Tennessee has had some great teams, and I always thought the SEC girls basketball was a top place to be.
I think so. I think consistently year in and year out, the SEC women's basketball is as good as anybody in the country. The Big 12 in recent years has come on the scene. you know, obviously you've got UConn that's always going to be there. Now Notre Dame's coming in the picture, or have been, you know, the last few years. But from top to bottom, the athletes that you're going to see in the SEC are just amazing. And, you know, I truly believe it's the best league in the country. So you start asking yourself, why are players not choosing to participate in that league? Maybe it's the fact that we're not as successful as we need to be, you know, and that's cold hard facts, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, kids come to Northside High School, you know, when they walk on campus, our kids expect to win, and that's something that we've been very blessed to have over the years. And, you know, so hopefully we can get the ball rolling in the right direction up there. And I know they've done well. Went to the NCAA tournament last year, won a lot of basketball games. And I know they're working hard from a standpoint of, you know, I've had every coach in the country in our gym over the years to recruit our players, with the exception of a couple. And I can tell you Arkansas is working. I mean, they're doing their homework. They're coming in. They're you know, they're making sure they know the kids, and they're working them. And that's about all you can do. You know, I don't have the answer to that. I wish I did, but hard work. You know, just got to stay in there.
But back to Northside High School here, in 9 trips, 6 titles, you start them young. And in talking at lunch with Mr. Jones today, and the fact that you have people that you trust coaching these young girls from about the, what, 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade up, that you trust, and you let them do the job that they need to do with them, and then you can mold them into the player that you want once they get here on campus.
Well, you know, if you drive down the street in any city in the country, in Arkansas, you're going to see guys playing basketball. I mean, you drive by the park, you're going to see a group of boys playing. Well, when I came to Fort Smith, I drive down by the park, and there's no girls hooping. So, you know, it's a matter of putting a basketball in a girl's hands and getting them in a gym. And when I first came here, we had a gentleman named Abel Triplett came on board. He's an elementary teacher here in town, Howard Elementary, and he started working with our young kids. Caught a lot of slack from people in the community that I'm at a Pee Wee tournament every weekend, but that team won 4 state championships in a row. So, you know, in girls basketball, just got to get them playing, you know, got to get them out there. And luckily now we've got so many AAU teams spread across the city and in this area that it's hard to keep up with. And, you know, just the main thing is just make sure they have access to a facility, keeping a basketball in their hands 24/7, and hard work. I mean, you know, when you start talking about success, it's just hard work, you know. Work hard, do the right things, and keep playing.
And one AAU team, I know you let some guy by the name of Mr. Jones take over one summer.
He did. I don't know if that was the AAU team, but yeah.
Yeah, we did. We had a local, our sophomore team. Matt coached the team. We almost had a car wreck on the way to Clarksville. I do remember that. But that was the first time I saw how calm he stood under pressure, because everybody was stopped on the interstate. Matt come up on him about 70 and darted through a couple sets of barrels before he set it down. And
peripheral.
Yeah. Hey, and the next thing I know, Mr. Steve Jones is getting out of the back seat of the car, and they're switching drivers. And I'm over there shaking my head, about to have a panic attack.
Wondering what in the world have I got myself into.
I said, you get behind us from now on, Matt. You follow us. But Matt did it, you know, and Mr. Jones, and it's just a matter of hard work, you know. I mean, it's not rocket scientist. I mean, you know, you show your kids.
Put the time
you,
in.
Absolutely. Show your kids that you care about them. Go the extra mile and 24/7. They got to think it. You know, our kids right now, we're in off season, and right as I speak, Scott Thompson is putting them through some shooting drills, and so hopefully we'll be prepared.
And I was going to ask you about that, as far as your relationship with your players playing AAU ball over the years. How have you seen that grown, and what is the percentage of your players that do play ball in the summer? Because I'm sure you encourage it. And they were talking also, we had some callers call in and say they're not teaching them the right thing in AAU, which I just find that hard to believe. But, yeah, what is the percentage of your players that do go off and play AAU ball?
Well, when I first came to Northside, our star players were playing AAU basketball. I mean, one or two traveled to Little Rock, played for the Mavericks or you know, whoever. Now we have every kid play. I mean, if you're on our varsity, you know, I got 27 kids on our team. Our top 15 are going to be playing with somebody. And if you're not, you're getting left behind. There is some bad habits that are picked up across the summer. I mean, they really are, you know, as far as the tempo of the way they play, or maybe not the extra pass or a little bit too much selfish play. But I tell my players every day, and my kids could repeat this to you, I worry about my team skills from August to March. Team skills. From March to August, it's all about the individual for me. I want the individual skills to improve from March to August. And from August to March, then we go right back to worrying about our team. So if I can get, you know, 10 to 15 kids improving their ability every day, Then come March or come August when it's our basketball team, then our team's going to be better. But it's all about playing. You know, that's where a lot of the colleges are picking up on the kids these days, and that's how Tyler Scaife has skyrocketed to one of the number one player in the country at the point guard position. And, you know, you got to be on the circuit. You got to get out, and you got to travel, and you got to play. And, you know, luckily for us in Fort Smith, we've got enough coaches in the area that are doing it, and now it's just a matter of plugging them in on the teams.
Have you ever had sisters – I know you've had one set of sisters on the team, but others that – you could let them do drills together, but then you've got this one set of sisters that you can't let them do anything together or against each other because they're always going to be butting heads.
You know, I've had a group of sisters over the years, probably two or three sets. You know, most are 12th and 10th, you know, separation. Never had I set a set of twins, you know, right hand, left hand. And both, you know, Matt's sisters, Stephanie and Grace Ann, never had two as competitive and went at each other the way they did. So, yes, we separated drills. Not only did we separate drills.
Sides of the court.
I separated ends of the floor. I said, hey, you get on that end, you get on that. Don't even look at each other during practice because I'm going to end up drop kicking a ball in the bleachers. Not at you.
Not at you.
Don't throw it at them. No, I don't throw it at them.
Well, and my dad probably wouldn't care if he threw it at him. So he would be fine with that one.
Well, you know, you talk about the what's going on at Rutgers, and I joke about it. It's not a joking matter, but what I tell my kids in August, you know, who are the toughest people in the world? Who are the toughest people in the world? It's the military. I mean, their lives depend upon it. Our country
right.
depends upon it. And how do they prepare to go to battle? You know, go through boot camp. You know, you go through the mental and the physical stress to push your body to another level. From my coaching standpoint, you know, I want to implement that into our program. I want our program to go through a boot camp to get through the hurdles the month of August and September. Now when we get to October, I know my kids are mentally tough. We're going to be in good shape, and we're going to be mentally tough. And I think that's what you have. There's a fine line there that you have to play between.
And the reason is you do that, the harder part then is so the game is easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah. Coach Richardson used to do that with us at practice
in
Arkansas.
I can
he
imagine.
Wanted practice to be harder, so when you get to the game, it's easier.
Ricky, thanks so much for stopping by. Congratulations on your sixth title here at Northside.
Thank you very much.